chapter of Jeremiah. We left off last week with verse 38-39. Tonight, therefore, the wolf of the desert and the wild beasts of the islands shall dwell there. Speaking of Babylon, which you pick up on after the destruction of Babylon. And the owls shall dwell therein, and there shall no be inhabited forever, neither shall it be dwelt in an end to generation. This is God's attitude toward what Babylon represents. And there will come a day when all Gentile powers will be put down, just like this, in the end time. And we said this before, but Babylon represents, they were the head of gold. They represent the headship of Gentile world power. And God is going to put them down. Also, we see in this chapter the representative of a religious system also. But all of these are going to be destroyed. Let's look at some verses along this line. Start over Roberta tonight. Isaiah 13:19-22. Isaiah 34:8-15. Joel 3, verse 2 and 3. We'll do both of them. I guess we'll stop there right now. All of these is concerning about the destruction of Babylon. All right, read that in verses 19-22. Except wild creatures. And this has been true. All of these, the shepherds, the nomadic people, have not even dwelt around there. God has compared them with Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll read this comparison in verse 40 of our lesson, how you bring them down to nothing. And then chapter 34, verse 8-9. Stop right there just for a minute. Now let's compare this pitch brimstone with Sodom and Gomorrah, because essentially this is what it was. It was used for destruction. And so God will have a similar destruction again. Go ahead. And notice the unclean birds that are mentioned in that, compared with the uncleanness of religious Babylon in Revelation 18. And then it mentions in there that her smoke will ascend up forever. So it says about the religious Babylon in Revelation 19. They're praising God for her destruction. And we read, I don't remember what verse, about verse 3 or 4 there. It says, and the smoke of her torment will ascend forever and ever and ever. So we have a comparison of the destruction of Babylon physically and the destruction of the religious system in the end time. And also the political Babylon of the end time. All of these are seen in the destruction of Babylon. Then Joel 3, verses 2 and 3. The cruelty of this in the end time. To cast lot for children. But then we look about today, and right here in our area, it's just about as cruel. The way they kill babies, and even after they're born, they take them and we find them in dumpsters and everything. Life has very little meaning to people today, right here in our area. I can remember when I was young, a girl got killed, and they talked about it for 2 or 3 years. The only one in the 30s, I think, that ever got killed. They kidnapped a little baby. Was it Greenlee? Greenlee? And they talked about that for years. But now, if they don't get 2 or 3 killed a day, they wonder why. What's going on? Terrible times. And they're getting worse and worse and worse. They're not getting any better. No wonder God is going to destroy things. He's perfectly just in doing these things. There was another one, Jack, that I wanted to read too along this line. That's in the 4th chapter of Isaiah. Look at it for me. Isaiah 4:17. Oh, all right. I'm sorry. 34:17. I'm sorry. 34:17. We'll find it. Well, maybe I'm telling you wrong. Yeah, maybe that's what I had in mind when I was studying.
Yeah, it says cast a lot for them.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to verse 39 of our lesson. So we find that the owls, and I mentioned before, these unclean birds, and they nest. We have a kind of a thought about this in a parable that Jesus gave, the mustard seed grew and grew and grew into a great big tree, and the birds lit in the branches of that, or vultures lit in the branches. You see, God's real people, God's true church, is wheat. Birds can't lie or build nests in the wheat too little. And if we stay little, we don't have to worry about the vultures getting in our hair. So, but the church, Christendom, I'll put it that way, Christendom is getting so big, it's getting full of unclean birds lighting in it. Anyway, it shall no more be inhabited forever. So it'll be like Sodom, as we're reading in verse 40, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor's cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell therein. God made sure that nobody would dwell in Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis 19, I believe it is, isn't it? It tells of the destruction. Is that right? I think that's right. Anyway, but nobody could abide there because it was covered with salt water, wasn't it? The whole city was completely covered with salt water. Well, if God's going to do that, he covers Babylon with sand. And I was reading one time, the archaeology said that there's so much sand covering the ruins of that they can't find areas of it. So anyway, God covers one with salt and one with sand. And Revelation 18, Evelyn, look at it for me. Revelation 18, I believe it's 19 and 20, we have the religious Babylon covered with fire. So we have a threefold covering here that we can see. Go ahead. I think verse 18 there, isn't it? It says it completely destroyed with fire and burning. And as we read, quoted from 19:3, the smoke of her torment will ascend as a memorial. Everybody will remember the destruction of these. So no man will dwell therein forever. Verse 41, behold, a people shall come from the north, great nation, and many kings shall rise up from the coast of its earth. This great nation literally is, of course, is Media Persia Empire, great nation, but they had confederacy along with them. There was the Armenians that joined forces with them, and Lydians and others there joined forces with them to make the great nation, and then we read many kings shall be with them. Well, so with the Antichrist, when he comes, he'll be a great force, and he'll have many kings with him. Now, we read this in the 17th chapter, if you'll remember. We might read that again, Roberta 17, 16, Revelation 17, 16. We find a counterpart of this great nation. Yeah, verse 10 tells us who these kings are. And, verse 12, I think, also. So a people, great people, great nation will come out of the north. Simply, we don't know where this is, but I feel it'll be one of the northern countries. But they'll have others with them. This is the part that I want us to see, is they won't be alone. It'll be a great confederacy of nations that will come down, some greater than others. Media Persia was a dual power with others reigning with it. It shall raise up from the coasts of the earth. And this covers a great territory. Verse 42, and they shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon horses, every one put in array like a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. There are several things, three in particular we see concerning this group, the power of the destroyers. This is, again, was succeeded in a natural and a spiritual sense. The thought here shall hold the bow in the lance. I think this has a thought of a well-trained ability to fight people. They know how to hold the bow. They know how to hold the lance. We could apply it to later days, and they know how to run a missile launching, whatever they're doing. I'm not too sure, but whatever it is, they're well trained in their service. But let's look at it in a religious system too. Is not religion in this world well trained? I was reading here a while back at a thing that somebody sent me, one of the senators or something, and they're going to try to pass a law in Missouri that legislation that you have to have a master's degree in theology before you could counsel with people. They want people well trained, but they want to train them the way they want them to be trained. So these things are seen. It, to be recognized in the masses of religion, you have to be a DD, PhD, or some other kind of a D. And so to hold the bow and the lance is well-skilled people. Then the next thing we read is they are cruel. They care nothing except for themselves. The cruelty of religion today is terrible. I believe, I'm not too sure about this, but I believe it was Brother Royalty that told me how the cruelty of the Catholic Church in South America and how terrible cruel they were. I think Sister Liggett was telling me about a condition, a young girl got saved and they put the toothpicks under her fingernails to try to get her to reject the evangel message, whatever. I can't remember all the details of it. But anyway, how terrible cruel. They don't do it here because we have laws against it, which some places don't have. Religion is cruel. If you don't agree with them, they're ready to kill you. And will show no mercy. Then the third one is their voice shall roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon horses, everyone in a race. The fact that the roaring like a sea, I think, has a thought of a multitude of people. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, we see a heavenly choir who will sound like waters, sound the many waters, their voices. We have a similar thought here. I know the earth stood on a seashore and listened to the waves splash against the rocks. It's a roaring sound. Well, Jude uses this to compare ungodly religious people. And I don't remember the verse in Jude, but it talks about raging wind and raging waves. Yeah, I can't quote that. 13, read it for me. I think we have a similar thought here. But even so, I think we see many of this. Like the roaring like the sea in great numbers. And these great numbers will ride on horses. Horses prophetically speak of power. And they'll bring great powerful army, people, everyone in array. The word array, I looked this up in Strong's, and he says it means to set in a row, to put in order, or to be in step. And I thought about this morning when I was reading it, but these people are all going to be of one accord, one mind. And you think about the Antichrist and his people and religion and their people, they're just like this. And they'll be like this in the end time. You can take cults, and they're all of one mind and one accord. They're all in the same step. And so these will all be in array. And then it says, like a man. And a better rendering of that is like one man, or as though they're one person. Same mind, same heart, same purpose, all of these that we see. And notice when we read in verse 41, there'll be many kings of all the same purpose of mind, going the same direction. So they're like a man. To the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. And notice this is feminine here. And I apply this myself to the religious system more than the political system. The daughter of Babylon. Then in verse 43, the king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hand waxed feeble. Colon, stop and think about this. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. I think we read the account of this pretty well in Daniel 5, if you remember, Belshazzar. He kind of fell apart when he saw the handwriting on the wall. I think in the last days, as the systems begin to fall apart, there's going to be some frightened leaders, but they won't know which way to go. They won't know what to do. There'll be no way of escape for them. Just like in the destruction of Babylon, there's no way out. They're doomed, just like Belshazzar was. Verse 44, behold, he shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan, like unto the habitation of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her, who is a chosen man, that I run away from her, colon, stop it. And then a question, and who is the chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? Or who will appoint me the time? And who is the shepherd that will stand before me? Now, these verses down through here, the last 44, 45, and 46 are the same as we had in chapter 49, 19, 20, and 21. See if I'm not right with that. I think it's almost word for word, the same. And so there in 49, you see, we had a sentence against Edomites, and how they came up against and crossed Jordan and came up against Israel. And God used them to judge Israel. He also used Babylon to judge Israel. But the same thing that he used for Israel, he's going to use for Babylon. The same fright, the same things that Judah experienced, Babylon's going to experience. And that's to me, that's the reason of the repetition in this. So, come up like a lion. You see, like a man, like in the same manner as a lion from the swelling. And we talked about this thought before. The word swelling could be translated pride. Most translated a flood. I think 21 times it's translated pride in the Old Testament. And excellency, 10 times, the same word is translated that. But an overflowing of these things is what we see. So the thought like a lion, the power that would, the speed that will come upon Jerusalem, in the same way the power and the speed will come upon Babylon. And so we can go back and pick up the thought that we had in chapter 49, and the same thought is in here, except it's a different person. You see, the lion in chapter 49, see, was Nebuzaradan. The lion in chapter 50 is Darius. And so we're just changing people, but circumstances aren't changing. It's the same thing. So he said, therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord. Now we go back up to verse 43, and we read the king of Babylon hath heard the report. But you see, they heard, they hear, but don't believe. You know, king of Babylon, if you remember in the fifth chapter of Daniel, the king of Babylon, he didn't change. He got frightened, but But he was still offering Daniel to be a big ruler in the kingdom give him a chain around his neck and all these things as though it's going to be a long time yet. And Daniel wasn't even interested in the rewards because he knew it was just a short time. In fact, it was that very night. But they don't understand. They hear the counsel of the Lord, but they don't know. They don't apply things to yourself. And we've come across people like that ourselves, don't we? You tell them something, they say, I know that. Well, why don't you show it then? You know, if you know it, do something about it. I know, they say, I know what you're talking about, but they don't really know. So we have, therefore, hear the counsel of the Lord that he had taken against Babylon, and his purpose that he had purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. And we mentioned this in the 49th chapter. When God gets ready to bring something down, it doesn't take very many to do it. Although he did use, but he wouldn't have to. Least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. And I believe this is word for word also in chapter 49:20. At the noise of taking of Babylon, the earth is moved. And the cry is heard among the nations. Now this isn't word for word with 49:21, but it's real similar. Somebody read that for me. Have it there, Alan. See, it's kind of similar, but here we read the noise of the taking of Babylon. The earth is moved, and the cry is heard among the nations. And we look at this in a religious system, and get our mind shifted back over to the 18th chapter of Revelation. How many people were involved in the fall of religious Babylon? See, many, many, weren't they, stood back and said, alas, alas, the great Babylon has fallen, it's fallen. And we have the same thought, and we'll pick up this thought again later on of nations that'll stand back Let's go on into chapter 51. This is a long chapter, 64 verses, I believe, in this chapter. And so we not cover them. We'll go to stopping time and then quit. In the Septuagint Bible, and everybody knows what the Septuagint Bible is, don't you?
I think so.
And some in the morning class that didn't know. In the Septuagint Bible, this chapter is placed after chapter 27, I'm not going to go over there, I'm just going to make mention of it, and you can see how it can fit into there pretty well. But, and I don't know why it was put there. I just noticed that it is. So you can search that out for yourself. I just wanted to make mention of it.